Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
This morning, I'm going to talk about love, God's love. But there's a certain aspect I want to talk about. Certain context. I want to talk about something that is interesting about this love is that it creates life. It creates life. I mean, I think how God can take something that was meant for death and now it's a symbol of hope. It's a symbol of His love, of His grace, His mercy, and of this new path that we get to walk on. Because, I mean, when we're born into sin. We're born into this almost condemnation. But then God shows up and creates life. And He does that through so many things. And it's interesting how, as Christians, as people, we have a similar power. And that's what I'm going to talk about this morning, specifically, is us. Now, just because I don't talk about other aspects of His love doesn't mean they're not as important. Realize I'm just emphasizing one side this morning, because there's so many. We could go on. I mean, this could be like, you know, a lifetime series, which it kind of is, being a Christian. So, kind of made that one up. That was thank you, Jim. I appreciate that. At least me and him are having a good time. No, I'm just kidding. I'm still waiting for the coffee to kick in. All right. No, I'm going to talk about words this morning. I've always been a firm believer that when you speak something out, it has an impact, good or bad, depending on what you're saying. I've always been that person to believe that, you know, hey, if you believe you can do it, you can do it. You know, there is no such thing as you go out there and it's a done deal. My dad always, you know, whenever I preach, I always reference my dad a lot and what he taught me growing up. But this one to me is probably one of the biggest ones because it's what keeps me humble and what gives me hope. And it's anybody can beat anybody on any given day. He laughs because he knows, he remembers it. I've heard that one countless times, especially going to Sparta and playing sports for Sparta, playing basketball for Sparta against Bronson Koenig and Aquinas. Hey, anybody can beat anybody. No, we never beat them. Coach never let me guard him. Anyway, no, I'm just kidding. But we never beat them. But it was that, it's what gave us hope to run against these guys. I remember our whole conference was better than we were. We were the worst. I mean, fighting against Toma to be the worst. at the time, it was us. We're battling out for, I'm not going to be last, but we were last. Anyway. And we were in summer league, and there was this team, Central, which they were Division I. They were a bigger school, and they had kids that were, you know, the average height of 6'3". Our biggest guy was 6'3", so, you know. And that was the real heights, not when you look in the bulletin, because they always inflate those, you know. I'm not actually 6'2". Not sure if you knew that. I'm not actually 6'2". But I think in the bulletin we should start putting heights in. No, I'm just kidding. That would be, no, we'll skip the weight. I'm just kidding. I meant in general, not specifically you. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. Anyway, it's okay to laugh in church, okay? I just want you to know that. I know it's the first service, but you can, like, you know, have a little energy. Just saying, just throwing that out there. I'm a youth director, and so I'm used to, like, these people, which this morning you're kind of quiet because you're probably tired, but Brendan, yeah. But usually, you know, it's okay to have a little energy. Okay to talk a little bit. Anyway, we'll move on. We were going to play Central in Summer League basketball, and we were missing three of our starters, had one guy on the bench, and all of a sudden it was like, oh, well, this is going to be a fun game. This is going to be real fun, because they're deep as deep, and average guy, 6'3", and athletic, and they, you know how to play. And we're Sparta. Enough said. So, you know, we go into the game, we're doing our warm-ups, and we're, you know, other teams are watching. It was a tournament. And during warm-ups, we're messing around. We're shooting granny shots. I'm going to do a layup and stuff myself on the backboard. Like, we're just not even trying. We're messing around. Don't even care. But my dad always told me, because I remember once we got done doing warm-ups and we go over to the bench, I got this look, like, what were you just doing out there? Like, you just embarrassed yourself a little bit out there. And we were like, we don't care. We're going to, you know, we're going to lose. But then, you know, anybody can beat anybody on any given day. And it's that belief. It's that believing that and saying that and telling each other that. I am always the person that I love in movies when they do a really corny, cheesy, inspirational speech that would never happen in real life. You know what I'm talking, like the sports movies that have them all the time? And it's like, okay, if somebody got up and tried to do this in real life, you know, the kid in the corner would be laughing his guts out and it would ruin the whole thing and it would just be a mess. But I'm all for those speeches because I believe that words have power. I believe they can make a difference, good and bad, depending on what you say. Now, I am not the perfect example of this. I will say that. That's for sure. Heard that snicker, Brittany. And especially, you know, when somebody says something to me, my response isn't always the best. Or says something about my family, response isn't always the best. We were talking about it yesterday. We talked about Bible verses and things like that, and it got me thinking how all my life, words, I have believed they change everything. They really do. They change the atmosphere. They change the attitude. They can create life or they can destroy it. I think of how many students I've talked to that have come to me and talked about their life falling apart. They feel worthless. They feel empty. They don't want to be around, and it usually started with someone said something to them. Just words. And it just ruined them. It wrecked them. And I think about my parents. You know, how strict my parents were growing up on things we could say. Especially my mom, because, you know, you say a word thinking it's okay, but I got double whammied because my mom is from another country, and so they have their own words that are not good. But in America, they're okay. But so I'm saying these things, no, you know, you yelled at because, no, that's a swear word in Canada. Well, who cares? I mean, we're in America. I mean, come on, who made that rule up? They're weird up there anyway. Just kidding. I'm kidding. My mother is a wonderful person and amazing, and I love her. But, getting back to the point, words. The impact they have, and this is not a brag, okay? Understand, I'm not bragging here, but I'm giving an example from my own life. Because a gift that I've been given is that I like to talk a lot. I come by it honestly. And I'm usually, typically, fairly good with words. I can usually either, you know, make someone's day better if I know it's bad and if I, you know, want to encourage them, reach out to them, you know, make a difference. And so when I was in high school, I had this teacher, this young gal, she was married. And I took, like, every single business class you could take, so I was in her class all the time. I had a connection with this teacher because my first year here in Sparta was her first year teaching. And so we knew each other from when I was in middle school. And then when I went to high school, she got a job at the high school. And so I took every class I could, and we were, you know, as friends as you could be with a teacher without it being weird. Because, you know, they're a teacher. They sleep at the school, you know, that whole mentality as a student. And they're like, you know, they never leave here. Anyway. So normally I'd walk into class and it'd be a good time. And, hey, how you doing? You look great today. You know, just being nice, friendly, you know, move on, go sit down, have a party, turn the radio on, play a few computer games after your work is done or slightly before. And one day I was late to class, and it was early in the morning. And I was late to class, and I show up, and the whole room was kind of like this. Everybody was quiet, blank stares, and just emotionless. Just quiet. And she was at her desk typing away like her fingers were going to go through her desk, like hammering it. She's just going to town, and she does not look happy. And, you know, because I grew up with three sisters and a mom, you can notice when they were probably running late that morning. No makeup on, just outfit was, you know, whatever. And the whole room. And I go and I sit down in my chair, and it's like, what? And, you know, you walk into the room, and there's just the thickness, the intensity of, okay, something went down. And I sit down, and the girl next to me, I'm like, what is going on? She's like, don't talk to me. And I'm like, what in the world? So I lean over to the guy next to me, and he's got earbuds in, and I'm like, yo, what happened? And he's like, oh, she went off the handle as soon as she walked in the room. Bell rang, she started screaming at everybody. She started yelling at this girl over here, telling her to get off this, and started freaking out, turned off the radio, and just went to her desk, and everybody started working, and nobody's talked since. And I was like, oh. I just smiled. I was like, well, see, that's what happens when I'm late. But I was being sarcastic, obviously. But see, this next part is the part where it's not really me. I think it's just, you know, a gift I've been given. I stand up in the middle of class. I stand up on my chair, and I yell to the teacher. I was like, hey, I don't know what you did today, because, you know, the secret is when a lady isn't wearing makeup and you genuinely tell them they look beautiful, melts them right away. So I stood up, and I looked at my teacher, and I said, hey, something's different today. I knew what it was, but I was pretending like I didn't. Something looks different today. You look really good. You should do that more often. And I just, you know, went down the list, and all of a sudden, she smiles, and she's like, hey, so-and-so, go turn the radio on. All of a sudden, the whole classroom, we're all playing games, we're sitting around talking, the radio's blasting. It all changed, and we had fun the rest of the class period. And it's not, oh, so great as me, but there's power in words. Through encouragement, through uplifting somebody. And, you know, some people always thought I was crazy, and sometimes I thought I was crazy for thinking, like, if you really, you know, say something, speak something out. My mom would always say that growing up. You know, like, I still have a problem with this. Admitting when I am ill, when I'm not totally ill, you know, that feeling of like, oh, I think I'm getting sick. I don't say that because you might think I'm weird, but I think that all of a sudden that means I'm admitting to being sick, and that allows it to just me to be sick. But I ain't going to admit it, no, because I don't get sick. I don't. I say that because I have faith that I'm not going to get sick, and I believe speaking that out makes a difference. I believe speaking that out makes it so I won't. Now, when I do get sick, it's not all of a sudden like, oh, God, you didn't protect me and all this stuff. No, it was, Brock, wow, you're dumb. You shouldn't have gone and done that. You know, go run and dive in the snow shirtless at a New Year's Eve event for the students. This it's not a great decision. You get sick after that. It's just what happens, okay? But, you know, hey, they laughed, so it was worth it. Should have done it for some money, for Speed the Light, not for myself, for Speed the Light. No, but words have an impact. And one of the scriptures I want to touch on is in Proverbs, and it's chapter 15, verse 4. The tongue that brings healing is a tree of life, but a deceitful tongue crushes the spirit. There's another verse, just a few pages down. Proverbs 18, verse 21. The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. See, that one right there, the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. See, if we allow ourselves to be built up on people's compliments, we will also allow ourselves to be destroyed by their negative words. You'll eat of the fruit of it, whether it's good or bad, if you love it. If you love hearing, you know, people basking in your glory, you just stand there and, oh, compliment me. It breeds insecurity. Because as soon as it's not there, oh no, what am I going to do? You open yourself up. But see, that's not what I want to talk about this morning. That's just a side note. What I want to talk about is, in this place, are we using our words to create life or to destroy? Because there's a lot of things that happen in this place. There's a lot of people that put their heart on their sleeve, and they put it out there. Whether it be the person preaching, the worship, the Blaze ministry, the youth ministry, people in the sound booth, the secretaries working on the bulletin. Because, see, I've noticed lately, and I'm not calling anybody out, but I've noticed lately, our church is going through a lot of changes. Two services, a new bulletin, the most awesome fellowship hall in all the land. If you haven't been in there already, you should go check it out. Maybe take a nap. Just saying. It's pretty sweet. My office is currently being moved down to the fellowship hall because the couch there is really comfortable. Just saying. But all these changes, and when these changes happen, a lot of times it's like, oh, what do you think about it? Or what is your opinion on this? Or sometimes people don't even have to ask you. You just gonna say it anyway. And I'm thinking, as a church body, as Christians, as a family, what we say brings life or brings death. And with a lot of the things going on, it breeds a lot of words being said. And I want us to stop and think before we speak. That's biblical too, you know, slow to speak, quick to listen, that type of thing. I think about it because I've witnessed, not to me, because no one's ever been as bold to say something to me about my preaching as in a negative way, even though, trust me, I'm my own worst critic. Usually when I preach, at least, you know, somebody will come up and say, oh, great job, even though I know, I'm like, no, I didn't really do well on that one. But, you know, they'll come up and they'll compliment you, and I appreciate it, thank you. All these different things. But I've heard other people preach. And then I'll go up to them after the service and I'll hear all the compliments they get. But then later on, I'll hear other people talk about what they did or didn't like. And I think, this person just sacrificed themselves for you. And put it all on the line for you. Because this ain't easy. I'm not even a pastor, okay? And I can see how it's not easy. I grew up watching a pastor, and I know it ain't easy. And you know, what is today's date? The 16th. Time is flying by. October's half over. Can you believe it? I can't believe it either. And did you know this month is half over and it's Pastor Appreciation Month? I don't know if you knew. And trust me, that's not for me. Like I said, I ain't a pastor. So it ain't my month. I don't care if I do the job or not. I ain't credentialed. I didn't earn it. Yet. Yet. Working on it. No rush. Just thought I'd throw that little tidbit in there. Since our words bring life. It's interesting. By the way, I'm probably going to get in trouble for bringing that up later, but we'll just pretend like I'm okay. If you don't see me working here the next couple weeks, you know what happened. Because the other verse I talked about, words that bring healing. Because you want to know something. And plenty of you know this, especially parents. Not that I'm a parent and I would know, but I've seen it, I've witnessed it. And anytime I take kids to an event, I feel like a parent. And I understand. Wow. 24/7? Can't do it. But I understand what it is to just give, 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 give. 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 And you get nothing back. My dad always uses the analogy of the clothes, the clean clothes end up back in your drawer, but you never think about how they get there. Instead, you pull them out and you wear them, or you pull them out and complain, or you pull them out and want new ones, or you just don't, whatever. Trust me, I was one of them kids. Once I got older, I was like, you know, it's just got a little more picky with the style. Although, this morning probably doesn't show that. No, see, our words bring life, and I know, and this isn't just some message for my pops. This isn't some message for the guy I'm related to, my boss. This is because I've witnessed what it is to give and give and give and get nothing in return. I've witnessed it. And the thing is you can think about a time in your life where you felt that way. I know you can. Even younger. But trust me, gets worse. You can think of it. And how much you wish someone would have walked up to you and just said, hey, you're doing a great job. Or, thank you. Or I appreciated when you did this. Or I appreciated when you did that. See, there's so many things that happen in our lives that we don't think about the people behind it. And I'm not just talking about pastor. I'm talking about the fellowship hall and how amazing it looks. And how, I mean, a lot of credit goes to a lot of different people for that. But, you know, Rachel, you know. And Stacy, because I was sitting with them learning so much about furniture and how to place furniture and like what looks good with what. And, you know, if there's something leather, having a cloth thing next to it or material thing next to it, whatever. I don't know the words. But just learning so much and watching them and thinking, oh my word, this is incredible. And the room looks amazing. It actually looks like, you know, I want to spend time in there. And which, not that it didn't before, but it just looks so amazing. And then, you know, I get to hear people's opinions. And because they're like family, and I'm thinking, oh, how dare you? You know, as soon as it's like, it's not even a negative comment. It's like, oh, I would have had that in a different color. Are you kidding me right now? Like, you know, I get over the top. I admit it. But to think, Our words breathe life or death. It's also, I believe it's found in Proverbs as well, as there's a verse that I like this one because it's really funny to me. And I'm guilty of this one a lot, so it also convicts me, which takes away the funniness. But it talks about a man who deceives his neighbor by saying, "I was only kidding." You know what I'm talking about? When you say something to someone, you're like, "Oh, I was just kidding." But you just say that just so they don't get mad at you. Or you just say it because maybe you were joking, but in reality, you just shouldn't have said it in the first place. Guilty. Always. That's me, to a T. But see, it says that person is like a maniac, an insane person, flinging flaming arrows of death. That is the description. That is the analogy. That is the comparison. So then I just imagine myself, you know, insanely running around flinging flaming arrows of death, and it's funny for a second, and then I realize, wow, that would breed a lot of death into people's lives, into a place, into an establishment, into a family, into a kid. Words have impact, and it's scriptural. I used to think I was kind of crazy for believing that words had so much power, but then when you read the scripture and you see, when we are filled with God's love, because see, the Bible also tells us that from the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. So when we are able to be filled with love, completely drenched in it, soaking it up in our heart, we are able to speak life. We are able to share that love. And that is the love that creates life. That is the love that took something that was meant for death and make it a symbol of hope. That he could take someone that was headed for death and sin and all sorts of destruction and all sorts of stupid stuff. Sorry, I need better adjectives instead of stupid. Just headed for just baloney stuff. There you go. Baloney's always good. Just headed down the wrong path, and he could take that person and turn them into something else. It's amazing to me, his love. And when we allow that love to impact us, it provides a covering. And it also becomes infectious to other people, where people will want it. Because, see, if there's a person you don't like, who's mean, who's saying all this stuff, you're just kind of like, I don't necessarily want what they have. I'm not going to use it. I'm not going to be a part of it. And I have an example of this. There's a person that loved me, and they showed it. Oh, there's a pen. Thanks. There's a person that loved me, and because they loved me and my relationship with them, I want to carry on the mantle. I want what they have. I and not just literally, I meant the way that they lived their life. But I'm using a tangible example. This was their jacket. And it was given to me to wear, to use. Something, a person that passed away, that meant so much to me. And because they loved me, because they spoke life into me, because they inspired me, not just through words, but also through actions. That could be a whole nother sermon about how our actions can breed life or death. But I'm talking about words. But because of what they said to me, because of every conversation they had with me, I wanted what they had. Not their jacket, even though it's awesome, and I use it. See, it provides a covering for me now. I don't get wet when I go out in the rain. The wind, it usually keeps the wind off me too. And I've been told I look pretty cute in this jacket. Just saying. See, when we love people and we use our words to show that, as well as our actions, and we actually breathe and breathe life around us and breathe life into people, words of healing, words of encouragement, words of love, people are going to want what we have. They're going to want your coat. They're going to want to know where you go, why you are the way you are. Why does everything you do, why is it so successful? Why is it so prosperous? Why does it work out for you? And it's because of God. Because of his love. Now, I'm not saying if you get his love that you're automatically going to be a millionaire, billionaire type person. No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm not talking about that kind of success. I'm talking about the success as a person, that even through failure, you can still look forward and always move forward and always have hope and always experience that. Because our words have power. And it's fun because this morning we're going to have communion. And why that's fun is because communion is fun. And it's a chance for us to be drenched in God's love. Communion, it is a celebration. I always look at it as a celebration. Because we do this in remembrance of him and what he did on the cross for us, but because of what he did on the cross for us, we now have life. And that's the life that we need, the life that we want, the life that saves us and allows us to go and speak life. That's what it is. That's what it's about in partaking in communion. So I'm going to ask that those who are serving communion would want to come on up. Anybody that is serving and helping with communion, much appreciated. I want my words this morning to be words of life. I don't want anything I've said to be discouraging to you. I want it to start a little flame, start a little encouragement, start a little life in you so that you may watch what you say. Or maybe it'll open your eyes to see how what you've already said has made an impact in somebody's life.
Thanks for joining us on the Lifecast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.